play along. This game is serious, it's time to get it on. So go ahead and say I won't. I take it serious, it's time to get it on.
Put your hands together for this next cowboy. He has written his last 7 moves at the mighty.
Fans, that's right, it is time for the first edition of the Bull Riding Advice Hour. I am your host, Making Eight Rodeo Network, Scott Mesick. Joining me tonight is my co-host, the head coach of the Allied Bull Riders, Mr. Sam Medlock. Sam, welcome.
Hi, it's good to be here, Scott. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, we're doing great. We're doing great, man. Fired up on a Wednesday night now. I've got to tell you, we are excited about what's going on right here on the Making Eight Rodeo Network alongside of the Allied Bull Riders. This is an opportunity for us to kind of come together and share a lot of information out there to a lot of new fans and a lot of athletes. So this is what the Allied or the Bull Riding Advice Hour is all about. And why don't you explain a little bit more in detail about it?
Well, it's easy to explain, Scott. This hour is for the young bull riders, for fans also to get more educated on the sport and find out more of the technical side of the sport. We're going to open up our phone lines and we're going to take in any young riders, any pro riders, anybody that's got any questions, anybody that wants to pose a question or challenge something that we're saying, we can definitely talk about it. And this is just all about getting better, and this is a show for the bull riders. So we're going to have all of them call in, and we're going to keep it all about bull riding.
Absolutely, man. And I'll tell you what, bull riding is where it's at. You know, the fans are out here on board. They're hungry. The athletes, the bull riders themselves are eager to learn from some of the guys that we're going to have on board with us. And, you know, we've got a lot of things in the works here right off. I mean, we've got some great guests that are lined up for tonight's show. We've got some great topics that we're going to cover. But really, I mean, throughout the rest, I mean, just these next couple weeks, you and I have been talking, and, man, we have got a huge lineup. This thing is going to be so fantastic. I can't wait to get into it.
Well, we've got a lot of great stuff coming up that we're going to be bringing our fans on, you know, the talk radio shows, on the talk radio shows, on Ustream, on YouTube, a lot of good media coming up for the fans to get involved with Team Allied and see what's going out there on every level of the PBR and what's going on with the actual day-to-day with the riders. Tonight, we're going to get into bull ropes. We're going to talk about bull ropes. At the end of the show, we're going to talk about making the first jump. This is a big problem for all levels of bull riders. You know, you're standing still, you're in the chute. Hopefully you're standing still. Sometimes the bulls are acting crazy in there, and you've got to deal with that too. We're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to take a short break halfway through the show and come back and talk about making that first jump from a standstill to an explosion into the arena. Where's the best place to be sitting, what to be ready for, and how to approach it. So that's coming up later. And we're going to get into bull ropes tonight, which is, you know, us bull riders only get 2 pieces of equipment to try to defeat our foe, the bull, and that's a pair of spurs and a bull rope. So, of course, it's very important to have one that works for a bull rider, very important that the rider's comfortable with that rope. So we're going to get into some of that tonight, and also going to have on a special guest tonight, a bull rope expert, will be in talking with us, and we're real excited about that, Scott.
Yeah, you know, you bet. And just like you're saying, you know, that first jump is obviously the most important jump out there. It's what sets you up in your timing, gets you ready, you know, to carry out that 8-second ride that everybody's looking for and helping make that whistle. But, you know, without that first jump, it makes it really hard to get back in time with a bull. But before you get that first jump, you do have to have the right equipment, and that would be your bull rope that you got to hold on to. So there's no doubt, man. some great conversations, some great topics to be covering and getting the fans as well as the athletes themselves more knowledgeable about, you know, what it takes to actually be a bull rider. So with these ropes, there's so many different kinds out there, Sam. And, you know, we see a lot of guys riding with different types of ropes. Are we going to have an opportunity to really explain a little bit about that and talk about some of those things?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, you know, let's start off with the hottest, probably the number one question, Brazilian or American bull rope. You know, the bull rope game has gotten more complicated. As I was growing up, there was only one rope, and that was the American style rope. And there wasn't a different train of thought. And then the Brazilian rope comes along. Yeah.
Hey, can I cut you off a minute?
Yeah.
When you said back when you were riding or when you first started, did they even have those ropes, those kind of ropes back then?
You know, they were few and far between. There were a few out there. You know, I want to say Adriano came to the States around 92-ish, and I've heard of some other old-timers saying that there was somebody before him, another Brazilian that had come over and they had seen this rope. But, no, as far as just calling up to get a bull rope, it was unheard of to call a bull rope maker. Probably if you'd have called my bull rope maker and said you wanted a Brazilian, he'd have went, huh?
Right. There's no doubt that, you know, do we know where the Brazilian rope, obviously coming from Brazil, but I mean, what was it? Was this, do we know how long that the Brazilian rope has been in existence over there? Or would our guests have more of that knowledge?
I don't know. You know, I will say this, what I do know, it's a very interesting story. I heard that there was a gentleman in a rodeo cowboy in the 50s, and he was in Brazil on tour riding barebacks and bulls, and he taught two kind of horse-riding circus performers how to ride bulls, and he had a bull rope. And when he left, they tried to fashion a bull rope after what they saw him ride with, and basically they just put the block in the body of the rope on the other side of the hand hold than we do, and there you have a Brazilian bull rope. Now, do not quote me on that. I do not know if that's true, but that's the only story that I've actually heard.
Okay. All right. Well, there's a little bit of a hot topic there, you know, something that maybe some of our fans could go do some research on it, you know, the ones that have a little bit of time on their hands. We'll see if we can't come up with an answer for that. But, yeah, I got to tell you, this is some great information, you know. And as a bull rider, you know, I think that the bull riders, really, I think the biggest part of the bull rope really comes down to their comfort level. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, the bull rope has to work for your style, and it has to fit your hand. It has to have the right rise in the hand hold so you can take the, you know, some guys like to take a lot of rope. Some guys don't like a tight rope at all. So that rope has to accommodate your preferences of how you like your rope when you're riding. And talking about the Brazilian bull rope and just touching on the mechanics of that, if my story were true and it was an accident that it came along like it did, you know, some of the best things that have happened in history we've kind of discovered by accident, as it will. And it's sort of the same principle here if that were true, because the mechanics of the Brazilian bull rope are great. One of the reasons that I switched to a Brazilian rope after having four shoulder surgeries is I really can't afford to have a bad hang up. And if you ever notice, the Brazilians very seldom hang in the Brazilian rope. And that's a huge plus. Now, when you're riding with it and you're riding in the center, you're not all tilted off to the side, but you're actually riding in the center, the Brazilian rope is very easy to hold on to because the tail's coming from the other side. And just the way it all wraps and everything, it holds the hand in good. But once you start to jump or you start to buck off the bull, the rope really becomes loose. It just instantly sort of pops itself loose, and that's a big plus. I know some guys have had trouble hanging on to the rope while riding. I haven't. Also, that Brazilian rope, because the tension point is on the offside, as with an American rope, if you were riding, you know, the tension point where it pulls up from your wear strip going through your loop is on the same side as your hand. Therefore, when the bull jumps and expands, putting pressure on the rope, the tension's coming from the side your hand is on, hence pulling your hand down to that side, into your hand. And a lot of people want to know, how come the Brazilians can get into their hand and make a move back to center the way that they do? And a lot of it has to do with that rope. And if you've never ridden with one, it's really hard to understand how a rope could do that, especially riding a lot of bulls with an American-style rope, because this rope, when a bull goes away from your hand, it really does, the tension point being on the opposite side, really does pull the hand hold back to the center, actually helping the rider come to center.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, going back to the first part of your statement there, you were saying that the mechanics of these Brazilian ropes are, you know, I mean, are spot on. If they are as great as they claim, or as guys like yourself claim, let me ask you, why isn't everybody using a Brazilian?
Well, they are that much different. And myself, it was very hard for me to change, because I'm a guy that likes to ride with my rope. I lift on my rope. I sit up straight and try to keep my body on my rope. And I like my rope good and tight. And I'm also on the heavier end of a lot of the bull riders. And, you know, when I get out to the side, that weight's out there, and I like a tight rope so that it doesn't slip across. And with the Brazilian rope, it does move. You see the Brazilians pull it, or anybody, excuse me, that rides with one of these ropes, pulls it down on the side, usually at least 3 inches. Because when that bull jumps the first time, that rope actually pulls almost 100% back to center. And American ropes just don't move like that. So if you're not used to it, and if your style does not fit a Brazilian rope, it could be the worst thing for your riding. I'm definitely not saying that everybody should use one, and it's the best thing to come along. But it does have some advantages, and I know there's some riders out there that definitely need to stay away from them, because the rope does tend to want to sit a guy down just a little bit more on his pockets.
Okay. Well, that makes perfect sense. Now, before we really get into detail and we actually have our guest on board, what we want to do, Sam, is we want to open up those phone lines, let the fans know that if they have questions, or the ones that are tuned in right now, please feel free to give us a call, 646-915-9940. Push 1 on your phone, make sure you connect with us, and we'll get you on board here. Love to have your questions and your comments in regards to some of these topics that we're discussing right here on the Bull Riding Advice Hour. And that's really what this show is about. Am I right, Sam?
That's exactly what it's about. And, Scott, if any of the callers out there, you know, maybe their problem's not their rope or the first jump right now. Maybe they're fighting their head a little bit, or it's something else going on. And if they have a question, they just have to get answered tonight. No biggie, call in. We're answering any questions about bull riding. So pick up the phone and call us.
You know, as we sit back, Sam, and we talk about these bull ropes, you and I have both had experience in tying our hand into them. But one thing that we haven't, you know, that we don't have experience with, at least I don't, I know that, I could never make a bull rope. And you know, to really understand those mechanics, I think we really ought to get somebody on here that might know a thing or two about it. What do you think?
Yeah, sounds good. Is it time to bring on our special guest?
I believe it is. We're going to go ahead and bring on our guest. Now, this guy might know a thing or two about bull ropes in general, as he is the general manager for over 13 years for Barstow Ropes. He's also the head rope maker and Brent Hodge. So, Brent, I want to welcome you aboard to the Bull Riding Advice Hour.
Hello there.
Hey, Brent. Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about y'all?
Good. Thanks for coming on the show. Glad to have you.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
So Brent, we're actually talking about the bull ropes, and if you can you kind of tell us a little bit about the differences? The hot topic and the big question out there is American versus Brazilian, but we also want to get to understand the American bull ropes and the type of bull ropes that are used out there on the market today.
Well, there is a big difference between the American and the Brazilian, and we've made quite a few of the Brazilian, but from what we've seen here is that kind of like what y'all were talking about earlier, it's not for everybody. I've made a lot of ropes for guys that have always used American style bull ropes, and then they switched over to Brazilian style, and some of them liked it, some of them didn't. I think it's one of those deals where it's just not for everybody.
Now, Brent, one of the biggest things I wanted to talk with you about tonight is how to get a bull rope. I have a lot of young riders coming to Allied Bull Riders Training on Tuesday night, and we're doing these free bull riding schools, and we see a lot of young riders riding with secondhand ropes that are worn out. And we always look to see, first and foremost, as an instructor, to see if the ropes are safe. And a lot of times they tell me they don't know where to get their ropes at. And that I can say, even as long as I've been ordering bull ropes, I like to call you because you know what's going on, because actually ordering a bull rope can be a little bit complicated. Would you agree with that?
Yes, you're probably right there. There's so many different things that you can add to a bull rope, and there's so many different types of bull ropes you can get. The best way to go about ordering a rope, at least from us, is call us up. They can reach us at our 1-800 number, which is 1-800-255-0105, or they can order online. Online is a good way to order one if you already know what you're needing. But, a lot of times if you've got young kids that are starting out that really don't know exactly what they want, they can call us up, and a lot of our secretaries that answer the phones, they know quite a bit about bull ropes. A lot of times they can help people order their rope, but if they can't, they put me on the phone, and I can walk people through ordering a bull rope pretty easily. Just from them, listening to them telling me what they do like and what they don't like, the size of the glove they ride with, and usually we can get it right on the first shot. If we can't, we've got a policy where we tell them not to stretch the rope or rosin it. Just kind of put it in their hand, take a wrap, see how it feels. And if it doesn't feel good, most of the time they can tell by taking a wrap if it's going to work for them or not. And if it doesn't, then I always tell them just call me up, and we can kind of go from there, making them a new one.
Okay, and that's one of the things. Now, your father-in-law, Neil Barstow, started Platin Ropes in 1966. Is that right?
Yes.
And Barstow Pro Rodeo Equipment's been around. And that's something I want the young bull riders out there to understand, is that plaiting a bull rope, it takes some time to get it right. Sometimes it even takes getting one, sending it back, maybe making some adjustments. So you want to get one rope maker that's your rope maker that knows how to make one for you. That way, when you're winning, you're going down the road and you need another rope, they know how to produce the rope that's going to feel good to you. So once you kind of get that initial thing out of the way, like I know, for instance, I ride with the Barstow rope, and when I call up there, I've gotten several from you, and you know what I'm looking for. You already know I've got a, big hand and going to want a fatter tail, and that's nice to have. So I want the guys to understand that it's really good. I like dealing with Barstow, and it's been a pleasure dealing with you over there, because you want to pick out somebody that you can keep a relationship going with.
Right, and that's kind of what we try to do. Ever since I've been braiding ropes here, I've been braiding ropes for a lot of different guys, and nine times out of ten, once we get their rope right, they generally stick with that same type of rope throughout the year, so it's pretty easy, once you do get the right bull rope made for them, to you know, they just call up and say, "Hey, I need a new rope," and we can turn them one out.
Now I've rode on the PBR Challenger Tour this year, and you know, your ropes definitely have a signature. I see a lot of pros out there riding with Barstow ropes. Are there any guys in particular that you've been making ropes for since they were in steer riding that you're kind of proud of that they're still using them today?
Well, yeah, there's quite a few guys. We made ropes for there's some kids that are up and coming that made ropes for since they were steer riders. But, you know, there's lots and lots of different guys. Some of the top guys now going, I guess, that we make ropes for are, you know, Pistol Robinson, Wesley Silcox, Harv Stewart, Shane Proctor, J.W. Harris, J.B. Mooney. You know, there's quite a few of those guys that, you know, we make ropes for on a consistent basis.
Well, Brent, this is Scott here. Let me ask you a quick question. What would you say? Would you say there's a given number of bulls that a rope should be used for before it really starts breaking down and becomes unsafe?
That's, you know, I get that question a lot. And it, you know, with bull ropes, it all comes down to personal preference. I mean, you want a good quality bull rope that's going to, it's got a good block and a good hard riser, and, you know, it's going to pull down, you know, somewhat tight on your hand. But that's a tough question to answer because, you know, there's some guys that like a really, really hard handle. And to them, once it's, you know, they may only get on 50 bulls with it. And then, you know, to them, the handle's wore out. But for another guy, that may be a rope that's just now broke in for them. You know, I've made ropes for some guys that have been on over 300 bulls with it. But, you know, that's not typical at all. But, you know, if I had to put an average on it, I'd probably say 100, just, you know, on average, somewhere between 75 and 100 bulls is kind of average, you know. And there's some guys that get on 200 bulls with it, and there's some guys that may only get on 50 with it. So, I mean, it's kind of a wide range there.
All right.
And I want to bring up a point for those guys that get on 200 bulls with it. Because y'all make exceptional blocks over there that really hold up, and you know, any rope over 100 bulls, depending on how the size of the rider, how much pressure he's putting on the handle, pretty much any rope is going to break down once you get up to 100, 125 bulls. And that's something I wanted to talk to you. You know, we see guys where the block starts to break down and the handhold rolls over, and there's a reason that was originally made stiff, is to make sure that you've got a breaking point when you're coming to the front end. It's good to break forward on bulls, but you've also got to be able to stop. And if your handhold's breaking over and your block is broken down, it's not going to help you stop. So you guys, if you think your callers, if you're out there bull riders and you're getting your heels clicked and you think it may be time for a new rope, it probably is. Would you say that was true?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, for everybody, it's going to be a little bit different just depending on the size of the rider, you know, and a lot of other things. But, you know, most guys like their handle to roll up some, but like you said, you know, once it starts to roll all the way over, then it's time to order a new rope, and that one's pretty
okay.
much done.
So if we have any guys out there tonight listening to the show, give them Barstow's number one more time, because we've got a special, we talked beforehand, and we've got a special offer for them. If they call in, bull riders need a new bull rope, call Barstow. Within the next 48 hours from the original airtime broadcast of this show, and Barstow is going to pay for the shipping on your new bull rope. So give them that number one more time.
It's 1-800-255-0105.
And what they're going to need to do is mention that they actually heard it right here on the Bull Riding Advice Hour, correct?
Yes. When they call in, just mention that they heard it here on the radio, and we'll go ahead and pay for the shipping on any custom-made Bora.
Super, super. Well, and those are quality ropes too, guys, out there. If you are not familiar with them, get one, try it out, and you'll like it for sure. And Brent's got 13 years experience plaiting these ropes, and I think you told me before that y'all guys usually keep about 40 or 50 of these ropes actually on hand at the store.
That's correct. You know, because we've been in business for such a long time, you kind of see trends go in what people are riding in and, you know, the most popular ropes that are out there. So anytime, you know, we kind of get ahead, we always try to, me as well as two or three other guys that I've got working here, we always try to plat, you know, one extra one, and that's the, typically it's the most popular styles that we have. We're not going to have any of the unusual style ropes in stock, but the 9.7s and the 9.5s with 3/4 inch handle and soft tails are kind of the big thing going now, and we usually try to stock those. So if somebody gets in a jam, you know, a rope breaks or something, we've always, you know, have one here that we can get them by with.
And now we're talking a lot about bull ropes, and that's the subject of the first part of the show tonight. But you guys carry all equipment, your vest, chaps, spurs, rowels, rosin, gloves, you name it. Is that stuff just falling off the shelves over there?
Well, we try to, you know, we're always staying busy here, trying to make everything that, you know, keep these cowboys, you know, going down the road. Like you said, we make bareback rigging, shafts, gear bags, you know, pretty much everything for the rough stock cowboy.
Well, there you have it.
But
Scott, go ahead.
Yeah, let me ask you a question here real quick while we've got you on the line. And, you know, that question would be, how many ropes do you recommend a bull rider have at one time? Or do you just think that one is enough for them to get by, or would you actually recommend for the bull rider that is serious about it and not just going out on weekends to ride, would you suggest that they actually have more than one rope?
Yes, and that's what I always try to tell guys. Always have a backup, you know. Once they order their new one, keep their old one in their gear bag because, you know, things happen. It could get stolen or, you know, you name it. Something could happen. And it's kind of hard to get a bull rope made or even one that's in stock and sent to you, you know, in a day or two. So it's best, you know, once you retire one bull rope and you order your new one, always keep a good, you know, a rope that's got at least a few more bulls left in it, you know, in your gear bag, just, you know, in case something happens.
You bet. Well,
and things do happen.
Yeah, they do.
I have seen, I will say this, one thing that came to mind while you were talking was the, I saw a guy, a bull rider, have his rope tied off to his bull in the alleyway. It was just like an open bull riding with like a, you know, a pipe type alleyway. They pulled the slide to roll, and the rope caught on something along the alleyway, and the bull rolled on forward and broke the rope smooth in two.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Wow. Brent, let me ask you one more question here. How long does it take you to actually make a rope?
I'd say probably on average about 7 to 8 hours. That's if I can just sit down and braid one and then sit down and put all the leather in it. There's quite a bit of time that goes into the building one. You know, a lot of people have always told us that they were built by machines, but as far as we know, nobody's built a machine out there that'll braid bull ropes. It's all done by hand.
Wow.
You know, it's pretty labor intensive.
And that's 7 or 8 hours for a guy who's been doing it for 13 years.
Yes, sir. It takes quite a while.
Well, you previously told me a funny story about learning. Why don't you tell everybody what you endured while learning to plait these bull ropes?
Yes, when I first started braiding these, when Neil first showed me how to braid bull ropes, it was quite painful. For probably the first month and a half, I'd say, I was braiding bull ropes every day, you know, 5 to 6 days a week. Just I'd braid for, you know, 2 or 3 hours a day and then give my hands a break. And every morning I'd wake up and it's just fingertips were just like they had second to third degree burns. They were just blistered up and very, very painful. But, you know, and he kept telling me, you know, just got to work through the pain, work through the pain. And, you know, once I did, now it's, you know, it's nothing to go back there and just go braid away, you know, all day long. I guess you just build up calluses, you know, throughout the years.
Wow. That's interesting. Well,
what do you think about that? Are you ready to try your first bull rope?
Shoot, no, man. My hands, I still have girly hands, man. I'm not ready to get all those blisters on there.
Well, here's the problem. This is what Brent told me earlier, is once you start to get those blisters and they're bleeding, you know, this is such a fine process. You can't put Band-Aids on there because you lose the feel. He says you just have to have it raw so you can feel the correct plat. Well, what do you think about that?
So how come we don't see any more red ropes out there with blood out dried on them? That's what I'm wondering.
Believe it or not, there are people that still, they order the colored bull ropes. Our biggest seller is the natural colored, but we do sell some colored ropes still that were, you know, big popular item back in the day.
And sometimes even though
Jeff Gorley used to plat my ropes, and he had for several years. He had, when I was younger, he had a huge roll of the most unique looking green twine. And
yeah.
I didn't have green in any of my gear at all, but I had 3 or 4 green ropes over the years. It was an interesting color. What's the second best selling color, you think?
Probably the second best color would be black, and then probably after that would be solid white, and then after that we've got one color combination that's red, white, and blue, and it's kind of coming back into style now, thanks to Tate Stratton.
Okay, so if we've got some young bull riders out there that like to floss, so to speak, and they want to get a nice rope to match their gear and the color scheme they've got going, they can do that.
Yes, sir. They can. Believe we on our website we've got all of the available colors that we can braid bull ropes out of.
Okay. All right. Well, we certainly appreciate you being with us tonight and sharing with us a little bit about Barstow and some of these bull ropes.
You bet. Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely, Brent. Take care.
Okay, y'all too. Thanks a bunch.
Thanks again, Brent.
You bet. Bye.
All right, Sam. Well, listen, man, I'll tell you what, that's a great bit of information to have. And, you know, for the fans that are tuned in out there, the bull riders that are out there, and you're sitting back saying, man, I need to get me a new rope, make sure to get over and contact Barstow within the next 48 hours. You can call them at 1-800-255. I believe it's 0105, correct, Sam?
Yep, that's it.
And within the next 48 hours, if they mention that they heard about it on the Bull Riding Advice Hour, their shipping is free for their next rope.
Now, and that's a big deal. That's a money saver right there. I don't even get that deal. So all these bull riders need to pick up the phone and get them a new rope.
Absolutely, man, absolutely. And, you know, Barstow does. They do such a fantastic job on more than just the ropes, but the ropes are so imperative. I mean, if you know, it's one thing to go out there with a pair of nice, pretty-looking chaps, but if you ain't got a good rope that's going to get you by, you're going to end up getting them dirty and tore up real quick. Am I right, Sam?
Well, you're right, Scott, and something else that I want everybody to know, and we kind of mentioned this while Brent was on the phone. You know, they're an established company. They've been doing this a long time, and they haven't stayed in the business by making equipment that's not quality. And it's very important, even though there are a lot of guys plaiting bull ropes, you may not be able to depend on them when you need them. And get somebody that's dependable, that's been in business, that you can count on. And that's what you get when you go with a company the size of Barstow. And these guys, they're first rate. They're cowboys. they're cowboys, you know, and they're easy to deal with. They understand actually what's going on out there. They're not just equipment brokers. They're actually guys that know what we're doing with equipment.
You bet. You bet. Well, Sam, what do you say we take a short break, and when we come back, we start talking about more of the bull riding advice that we're sharing right here on the Bull Riding Advice Hour.
All right, everybody hang in there with us. We'll be right back.
This is Wrangler National Finals Rodeo announcer Roger Mooney. When you get ready to get a grip and get explosive, get all of your bull riding info on Makin8.com. Tune it in, rip off the knob, and let's get hide, hump, hooves, and horns. Makin8 is a winner.
I think we're right on track. Am I right?
Yeah, we're doing good. I was really glad to have Brent on, and I guess we could have talked to him all night, and I could talk all night about any bull riding subject, so we had to pick one.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, and really, you know, it's sort of the starting base. I mean, really, you got to start off with a good rope, and that kind of leads us into, you know, getting the right equipment and then getting out on that first jump, and that's the first, you know, the first things you need to accomplish when you're talking about bull riding is, number one, having the right equipment, and number two, getting out on that first jump. So that kind of leads us right into where we need to go with the next part of our show here.
Yeah, let's talk about that first jump, Scott. It's, in my mind, the most important jump in bull riding for several reasons. Number one, you're in the chute, which is pretty much the most dangerous part of a lot of rides because you're in a tight area surrounded by metal, and it's real important how you approach that bull to make sure you get out of there clean. Also, too, that first jump, if you don't make it, you're not going to make the second one. So the most important jump is the one that you're on. You're starting with the first jump, and then last, but most importantly, is you're going from a standstill to basically an explosion on a good bull. You know, if you're going to be on the type of bull you're going to win money on, he's going to be bucking from the time he leaves the chute. Now, I want to address something right off. I watch the top 40 ride all year. I TiVo it. We watch it in super slow motion. And something I've seen in a lot of riders is holding on to the chute too long. And you've got, when you're dealing with a chute and a bull, you're dealing with two total opposites, because the chute's fixed, it's staying in one place, it's not moving. If you're holding onto the gate, it's moving, but it's not moving a fraction of the speed that a bull's going to be moving or with the power. So that being said, I want all the riders to know out there, and if you're listening and you're in the top 40 in the world, don't be so sure to say you're not doing it, because I've seen a lot of top riders do it, hang on to the top rail, the chute, and get their hips twisted. The bull's jumping into the arena, and they're holding on to the chutes, and they're twisted. So that being said, before you nod your head, it's time to engage 100% in the bull. Take your hand off the chutes. Get it into your free hand, get it into position, and then nod and go. That way you don't miss your timing and accidentally hang on, because there's a little bit of a reflex in the brain once you nod and the bull leaves that kind of makes your hand unintentionally clinch up.
Yeah, absolutely, Sam. And, you know, before we really get any further into it, I've got a great comment, but I do want to let the fans know and the listeners out there know that the phone lines are open. You guys can give us a call to ask us questions or to give us comments in regards to what we're talking about here on the Bull Riding Advice Hour at 646-915-9940. Now, Sam, going back to what you were just saying, I've got to agree with you there. You know, when I first started to learn to ride bulls, we really slowed things down, and that was one of the first things we did was take our hand off of the bucking chute, off of the gate, and put our hand right there in front of us where we needed it to be as we nodded our head. But over time, I've caught myself tending to grab on, because it's a natural instinct, and we want to hold on to that firmness there as we're starting, you know, and you'll see a lot of guys do that. They kind of tense up before they relax, you know, and they hold on to that bucking chute, or they hold on to that gate before they nod their head, and I believe you're right that we'll see a lot of them do that. They'll hold on for too long, and it'll throw them off time.
Well, there's a surefire way to get out of that habit as well. You know, if you're going to ride, if these guys that are out there riding bulls, hopefully they've got at least a stationary barrel at their house, and you get on that barrel with your rope, and you envision yourself how you're going to leave that chute, and before you know, whether you're going to nod or you're going to say, let's go, guys, or whatever you're going to say to signal the gate man that it's time to go, get your hand off the chute before you give them that signal. And that's a way to guarantee that your reflexes don't work against you. So, I mean, there you have it in a nutshell. Get out there and do it on the barrel. Go through it in your head. These riders need to be practicing it. And, Scott, I'm going to have to relate to you on what you were saying is, as I've been riding bulls for 25 years, and I catch myself doing it. And I like to think back at Mike Lee, the year that he won the world. If guys want to YouTube some of his rides, and Mike Lee still does it most of the time now, he takes his hand off the buck and shoot and puts it in front of him before he nods his head.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, we do see that. We do have a question that's actually in the chat room. It's something that I want to bring out as well, or actually ask you, Sam. This is, I think, a great topic, and I don't think we're really drifting too far off. But in regards to that first jump out, a lot of times we'll see a bull in the bucking chute that, you know, will throw his head around or try to jump out, and we'll see that the stock contractors, the shoe boss will go up there and they will actually put a rope over the top of that bull. As that gate's opening, do you think that messes up the timing of that bull and getting out on that first jump, or the bull rider, I should say?
Well, anytime you bring a neck rope into play, you're complicating things just a little bit, because you're bringing in another person that's got to control that neck rope, and it depends on how they put it on there. Is it straight across the chutes? Is it wrapped around the bull's horns and twisted off to the gate or the back of the chutes? And so you're also depending on that person to be a cowboy and have bull savvy and depend on them to let that bull go in time. Yeah, that has to be done. And I'm looking in the chat room here, and it's kind of asking, shouldn't we – I kind of took the question as, should we do it every time? And, I have tried to think about things there in the chute. Really, actually, bull riders don't like anything in front of them in the chute. Me personally as a bull rider, and I think most of them feel the same way, I really don't even like anybody's hand in front of me spotting me. I like to, once I get ready to ride, I like to just be me and the bull. And, you know, I think a lot of us have thought of other things to try to make that situation safer where those bulls don't rear up into it. But a flank rope is really about the best solution we found, you know, generations of bull riders have found, because if you put anything in there like a pipe or an extra board in front of you, that really creates a real danger, because those bulls can really wad up in the front of those chutes and swing a rider forward. So it has to be something pretty soft.
Okay. Well, that kind of answers a lot of that questions right there. Going back and maybe getting a little bit off topic here for a second, one of the questions that's come in is in regards to the stationary barrel, as you were talking about, and breaking those habits, should a guy wear his vest and his chaps or helmet there on the stationary barrel? One thing I learned when I was being coached is, it's to practice how you play. And so, I mean, is this something that you would recommend or maybe not recommend, being out there on a stationary barrel?
For all young riders, I definitely say do it a certain amount with your full equipment. Be familiar with your equipment. Be comfortable with it. That way, when you get to the rodeo, you're not fumbling with the buckles on your chaps. You know how to get your spurs the right tension. And a lot of times, just going through little drills, dress rehearsal at home on the barrel can have these things ready, so you're more comfortable when it's showtime. Now, I had this conversation with a rider that is making plans to come out and train with Allied. He's a gentleman that's about my age, still riding bulls from Houston, and he's started wearing a helmet. And we were talking about that today. Now, at Allied, we have our young riders do a certain amount of exercises in their helmet, because a helmet does cut down on your peripheral vision. It does add weight to your head, and you have to be familiar with that. Just like going to football practice or batting practice, you put your helmet on. And even if you're going to walk through plays, a lot of times the coaches in football will have you put your helmet on, just because you need to be walking through plays in the way you're going to be playing, like you said a moment ago. Practice like you would play. So if your field of vision is cut down by a helmet, practice with your field of vision cut down so you have an edge in competition.
Absolutely. Well, Sam, I got to actually tell you, man, we've got some callers on the line, so what do you say we slide on down there and take a few of them?
Sounds good.
All right, I'm going to try to do this because they've actually both got the same area code. So 281, I believe this is Houston area. You're on the Bull Riding Advice Hour.
Yes, sir. I was actually going back a little bit on your conversation back to the bull ropes.
Yep.
I kind of acquired my rope, and it's an American rope, but how would I go about deciding if I want to use an American rope or go to a Brazilian rope?
Okay, good question, and thanks for calling in tonight. Get a Brazilian rope from one of your buddies before you spend any money on a rope. Get one and try it, because I rode with a couple that did not work for me. So the third one was the charm. So when you're in a practice pin situation where there's no prize money on the line and you haven't invested in the rope yet, borrow one from your buddy, give it a try, see what you think about it.
All right, so there's different styles of Brazilian ropes then? Is that what you're saying?
Well, we didn't really get into that earlier. The way that ropes are made in the hand hold, like if you were to call Barstow and order a rope, you would say, well, I want a two-finger rise or a three-finger rise. And most Brazilian ropes come with a really high riser, almost with like a four-finger rise, which is the space from the hand hold to the base of the rope. And when it's laid flat on a table, that's how much the hand hold rises. Well, that's why you see the Brazilians pull lots of rope, because they have a lot of rise in their hand hold. Now, a lot of us American riders like less rise, so we don't have to pull that much rope. So there are ropes out there that are Brazilian style made by American rope makers. And if you've been riding with an American rope, I would suggest getting an American rope maker making your Brazilian rope.
All right. Without a word, that answered my question.
Good deal. Well, thank you for calling.
And if you order it in the next 48 hours from Barstow, they'll pay for the shipping.
All right, yes, sir.
There you go. Thanks for calling in.
All right, take care.
All right. Sam, we got another caller on the line. Let's see if we can't bring them on. Houston area, you are on the Bull Riding Advice Hour.
Yes, how you doing? My name's Sean McKellen. I'm a friend of Sam. I'm just calling in to praise Sam and his allied bull riders. I think it's a pretty good training course, and you know, it's good for the kids, and you know, like when I was a kid, we didn't have these kind of places where we could train and really have people teach us how to ride, you know, unless we went to a bull riding school. But I think it's a pretty good thing for, you know, these local kids and even kids, you know, around Texas.
Well, Sean, let me ask you a question. And first off, thank you very much for the compliment, and it's a treat to have you on tonight. For everybody that does not know, of course, we grew up riding steers together, and Sean's a world senior pro champion. So, you know, it's a real treat to have somebody with your experience on tonight. I got one question for you. Are you sore from that workout last night?
You know, it really hasn't set in yet. You know, probably tomorrow morning I will be. You know, my legs were a little noodly when I left, but I felt real good about it, you know. So, I think I'll probably be sore in the morning, but right now I'm feeling pretty good, so.
Okay, well, I'm feeling bad then, because I was noticing in my shoulders earlier from rolling on the ground last night doing those tumble rolls and jumping back up, I was a little sore.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good exercise, you know, for you know, young and old, because that's a good drill for, you know, hitting and rolling and moving, you know, while you're on the ground. But I just want to thank you, Sam, for you know, for having this for these kids around here, you know, kind of, and putting the time and the effort in and helping these little ones, you know, coming up riding through calves and steers and bulls, you know, it's I think it's going to be a pretty good thing, man.
Yeah, well, thanks again, Sean, and I look forward I always love it when you come out, and the kids love it too. It's good to have somebody, you know, with your experience around helping as well. And, hey, it's just fun to train with an old friend. And before we kick you off the radio tonight, tell me something about the first jump. We're kind of talking about how to get out there. So if you had to tell any of these young riders some of the secrets that you've used in your success, what would you say about the leaving the buck and shoot?
Well, I would pretty much say that that's probably 50% of the way you're going to conquer that bull. You know, either left-hand or right-hand delivery. You know, left-hand delivery, I would say hold the gate until his head goes underneath. Right-handed guy, hold the gate until his head goes underneath your arm. And then, you know, be up on your legs. Right-hand delivery, right-hand, just follow him out, you know, and pretty much just, you know, be up on your legs, you know, for that first jump because he's going to be rearing and kicking, you know.
All right.
I pretty much, you just, you know, you know, for younger guys probably, you know, getting on smaller cattle, you know, they can't really slide up and you know, fill them with their feet, so they pretty much just got to fill them on the way out. So, you know, always just watch them and follow them out, you know, get up on your legs and have fun.
That's a good point, Sean. That's something a lot of young bull riders want to know out there that we get asked a lot is, you know, what do you do with your spurs? You know, a lot of these young riders are also getting on bulls that are young too. And when you touch those bulls with your spurs, they're jumping around and whatnot. You know, when would you tell a young rider when he's up there in position, when's the right time to stick your spurs into that bull and really grab a hold of him?
I would say, you know, just as soon as that gate cracks and the bull pushes on the gate, you know, that's usually when I set my feet, you know. Sometimes if you get screwed in too tight and one's bad in there, you know, he could, you know, brad you in the front of that buck and shoot. But usually when they break the plane, you know, and I see that head bumping the gate, that's when I go ahead and stick my gigs in him and pull up. But,
okay.
Yeah, I would say as soon as he breaks the plane, you know, some guys get a halt before they even leave there, you know. But I think if you're moving forward, if you're sliding and nodding, and you're running your feet down in front of your rope and pulling up all in one motion, I think that keeps you moving instead of sitting back on your butt.
Exactly. Okay. And I like that. And now we hadn't gotten that far in the show, but that moves it right along, talking about, you know, this bull's sitting still, but he's about to burst into the arena, and the rider has to be ready for that burst too. And I think that's what you're saying is, you know, you've got to be ready to make some kind of motion. You can't just get on a bull and lift on your rope as hard as you can and squeeze with your legs as hard as you can and hope that you're going to be sitting there in time with him after that first jump.
Right, yeah. Usually if you're real tense, they're going to rock you in your arm or away from your arm first jump, you know.
Now, wouldn't you say it doesn't matter how long you've been riding bucking bulls, you need your buddy on the back of the chutes most days to remind you to take a deep breath?
Every time. Even now.
Every time.
You know, even at 37, I still need somebody to tell me to breathe because sometimes you get caught up in the moment and, you know, breathing helps you to concentrate, you know. So, yeah, I still need it. Even at 37. So.
I like to compare it, Sean, to taking a golf shot or taking a free throw in basketball. Is, you know, you wouldn't tense up and hang on for dear life if you were about to swing at a baseball or golf ball. You're going to be breathing, ready to react. You know, you're a little more intense but ready to react to what's happening in front of you. And you were just saying about leaving the chute and letting that bull cross under you a little bit. And that works good, but you have to have a good presence of mind as that bull's turning out, watching him to know when to let go and be ready and come forward.
Sam, actually, we had to let Sean go as we are fresh out of time, buddy, and we're going to have to pick this up next week. But, man, I got to tell you, it's been a fantastic time here on the Bull Riding Advice Hour, and I certainly appreciate what you're doing for, and I think that we're on to some great things.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for coming. And, kids, remember, you're not bucked off till your head hits the ground twice.
That's right. All right. Well, rodeo fans, I do want to remind you that our next episode that will be airing on the Making 8 Rodeo Network will be Short Go Radio with Mike Anderson, Sunday, 5:30 Central Time. And Monday, we will be back on the ranch talking more rodeo, more bull riding with you. And then, of course, next Wednesday, 7 o'clock Central Time. We'll see you right back here for more bull riding advice on the Making 8 Rodeo Network.
Five-time world champion Rob Smith, you're listening to Making8.com.
Thanks for tuning in with Making 8. Happy trails, be blessed, and get a grip.
Welcome and listening to a radio station where the mighty hosts of the heavens sing.
God. Yeah.